Welcome to the Experience Grind Podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences we have gained along the way through movies, TV, games, and kick-ass MFN action movies. Hello, fellas!
Yo!
Hello! Yeah.
Hi!
That was a good one. This first dude, I once saw punch a boulder out of a flowing river of lava. What's up, Ryan?
It's like,
hi. Oh.
No, I said Rye with the R.
Rye, bro. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you can spell that D-E-A-D-D. Fucking, I already fucked it up. Chelios. God damn it.
All right. This next guy, I once saw him shoot and then catch three of the shells in his hand after he took out three Russian mobsters. Dave, how you doing, buddy?
I'm just like picturing that situation.
Mm-hmm. You did that?
Yeah, how cool would that be? I'm not that cool.
Yeah, that would have been on one of your coolest moments ever on last week's Patreon episode.
Unless I can't talk about it.
Yeah, it is sworn to secrecy. What are you not sworn to secrecy about, though?
What am I not sworn to secrecy about? I'm doing this entire episode in a Van Damme split.
Nice, dude. Nice. Is there a free dangle or a not free dangle?
You don't free dangle that.
Okay.
I feel like it throws off your equilibrium. It's going to be like, what is that? The end of, is it Ocean's 13 maybe? With the earthquake and it has the thing in the building. It's like kind of like that.
Yeah.
Did you just tape it up?
He did.
Are you saying your splits are going to cause earthquakes?
He's saying he's dangling.
Yeah, I just got back from California also, so this is kind of a weird moment.
I was
going to
say, I think he holds California together. But
that's really cool.
Speaking of keeping things together, this next guy, the first time he showed up at my house and every other subsequent time, he's come around the corner on two wheels and a flashy style in that sweet, sweet ride of his. Brian! How you doing, buddy?
That's me.
Yeah.
I take that turn a little fast, don't I? True story. When I provide the voice for my dog in my house, it is a female dog, but I still use the Jason Statham voice whenever I do it.
So what's that sound like? Just that? That's the voice?
That's it, yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it so
dog's
much.
Dog's talking like this.
He's a bit just deeper Michael Caine almost.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you like dogs.
Oh wow.
So you like dogs.
Not a lot of people know that.
Does everybody
have a voice for their dogs?
I think so, yeah. You kind of have to. Like when you have your conversations with them, or else you would be a true psychopath. A true psychopath that loves dogs, by the way. This guy, I've seen him eliminate an entire city of gangsters because somebody was mean to Rupert once. Sean, what's going on, buddy?
Okay, you think that it's probably having something to do with Rupert, but it's honestly just because Zach and Nephron gets my heart going. You know what I'm saying?
Zach and Nephron.
Oh, that's good.
Zach and Nephron.
Also, did you imply he was Sean Wick?
Yeah. That was the implication.
That's great.
Oh, man. I take back
I just
I
wanted
said.
That
That's
pun
way cooler.
Just out there. That
And Dave's, if you couldn't tell, was Cobb from Inception. He was catching the bullets as he was taking out the hitmen.
Oh. I did not.
It was a bit of a deeper cut.
I fell asleep in that movie.
What?
I haven't seen it.
Was there
you
anything?
Got incepted in Inception?
Was there anything Dang. Written
I heard
on
a what,
those
and then I
casings.
Heard... Bing, got it. Scott Pilgrim style.
Oh, man. I wish I could have slept through this movie. Let me tell you.
What movie is
how
that?
How could you possibly?
Crank, which for me, in case you didn't know, has always been a euphemism for cranking it down. And
just for him.
Crank has been a euphemism
it's
for
never been
it
said
down.
Anywhere outside of his
no,
house.
No, I did. That's have you guys ever used that or heard it used?
Every kid has said that.
I'm pretty yeah. sure
at
that's
some point,
what, like,
I have
Grant
this crazy
said
name
the,
for a dog. It's called a dog.
I still do.
I like to call my dog, dog. It's crazy.
I wanted to commend,
I got
first of all,
pen.
Dave and Brian, I just called wanted to pen. Say you guys made the right choice. I didn't know you guys had covered it so recently.
No,
I don't know why that was a brain fart, especially with an easily checkable list that we all have access to.
Yeah. Brian's like end game Grinch here. His heart is already two sizes too big at all times.
It's
put it together right for call. Everybody.
Oh, yes, I see. Yes.
It's a very nice list. It's very easy to find everything you could ever want. And it's a C movie. Search. So it's literally like when you open the list, it's on the front of the list. And but yeah, Crank. I'd never seen Crank. So there's that in it. Sean, have you ever seen it?
No,
never.
I've never seen Crank.
Ryan, you have, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Both of them?
Yeah, both of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At one point, I owned it on DVD, even.
Was it
note, a double how we didn't go to Blu-ray, guys. Note.
Yeah.
I will say that I watched it this time on a Blu-ray.
Really?
Yeah.
You own it?
Neville, Dean, and Taylor are proud.
Even better, my girlfriend owns it.
Wow.
Like I said, does anybody own like the Walmart double pack where it's like both movies on like one side of the disc is mirrored on both sides? Did you ever have those?
I fucking hate those. Yes, but I hate them. Yes,
they're terrible.
You cannot. The Austin Powers scratch DVD aside. Was that.
I also feel that's a very 2006 era thing.
It's good to say. I think the one I had was Snatch and Lock, Stock. That two pack of it
on both.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it was. I mean, it was a good one. Get me wrong.
Yeah.
That's Statham, the one I'd like to have. Statham very well known for being on both sides of the DVD.
The Lethal Weapon 4-pack with two movies on two discs.
It's a 4-pack, so but it's only 2 discs.
Only one movie.
That's
I
a
2-pack,
brother.
So worth $5.
That's a 2-pack, brother.
It's kind of like a pair of hands. They're ready.
It's a 2-pack. What?
2-pack Shakur.
I feel like I missed the
match. Can
you
imagine Tupac alive and well just like hawking double-sided DVDs? Come to
he found
Tupac's
his true calling.
Tupacs.
Meanwhile, Brian, I got a question for you.
Hawking DVDs Crank. That are too big to fit in the... What's up?
Did I like this movie? I didn't rewatch it this time.
I feel like you liked it.
I don't remember if I liked it. I can't remember in the Cold Stone scale. Was it a like it, love it, gotta have it?
This is crazy because I might be the odd man out here.
I don't know. I'm trying like I'm going off of a not recent watching of it. This is like a few
definitely
months
going
ago.
To be one end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll come. I really
it's clear you're
going to
be
enjoy
one side.
This movie that much. I want to get into it. I thought, like starting off, I thought it was going to be something exciting. I like that it started off in this cool first person mode.
Yeah,
hated it.
That's and exactly
you hated
how I
that
felt.
Part.
When I first watched
it was
it,
my
I
least
was
favorite
like...
part of the movie, besides the problematic.
Really?
Stuff.
Stay away from Hardcore Henry, then.
Well, yeah, that's one of the only parts of the movie I did like. So
I
this
wanted
would be
more
an
of
interesting
that.
One. I thought it was a cool way
then
to start.
Watch
it.
Hardcore Henry.
The entire thing is first person. It makes you want to vomit.
It didn't affect me like that. And I remember you said Hardcore Henry got you like that. And I'm usually prone to shit like that, which is why I didn't cover that one, but I did talk about it with Sean at one point, and he recommended I not watch it because he thought I would get sick. And he's
the
my homie.
Sickness, yeah.
I think I just saw Dave take a note. It was weird.
Did I? I haven't moved. It was quite statuesque.
I feel like he was writing down that the movie makes people sick, like he was planning something.
Oh.
Brian, like Brian does know me, that I was trying to write something in my head like, there.
If it does make me sick, like I just will not be able to finish the movie because if it goes all the way, I will be fucked up for like 2 days when I get the dizzy.
It does
spins.
Go
I'm
all
like
the way.
Lucille Ostero. I get the dizzies and I just solid I can't do anything and it's a terrible time. So, but this opening scene did not affect me in that way. Jason Statham is he's going quite trippy mode because he's been he's got the blank DVD there that he has to put in and watch.
He gets the right side first too
because it does
the
say
side that doesn't have right
USB plug.
Yeah,
it says "fuck you" on it, doesn't it?
Yeah,
these guys are really mad at him. I never really understood why.
That might be why you didn't like the movie, Kyle.
Well, like, I get he didn't kill the Chinese guy, but then they're
yes, but everybody thinks that he did,
leave the mob.
And they're trying to blame it on him.
Yes. Right?
That's essentially it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, here's something. It might be shocking. The story's garbage, and this is only style.
Here's what.
And that's it.
I don't
care. You're in or you're not. Like, that's why you're given the exposition within, like, that, like, 2-3 minute opening. Like, it's super quick. They tell you the ropes, and now it's just Jason Statham has to do crazy shit to stay alive for an hour.
This felt like an MTV
There's no story. That's
music
it.
Video, like, movie some overzealous director got to do for, like,
yes.
an MTV movie. It's that generation. Dude, fucking Chester Bennington and is in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a really, honestly, a really good way of putting it, because I mentally, in various parts of this movie, went, man, this soundtrack kicks ass. Until it doesn't. But, like, a lot of it does kick ass. Like, I enjoyed the music outside of, like,
when does it not kick ass?
When does it not kick ass?
One of the only things I like, without exception, is the music in this movie. That is, like, the one thing.
Okay.
I didn't hate it. I thought it was silly, like 2006 MTV rock.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
But that's.
And that so is,
that's a lot of movie style. Style.
That is this theme.
Yeah.
But this for sure. Kyle was saying, like, overzealous. Like, I loved the soundtrack. It was really awesome. But, like, I would start listening to a song and be like, oh, hell yeah. And then I'm like, why is this playing right now?
I guess I just 100% disagree. I loved some of the weird choices, like the lover boy pool and like the alley fight for some reason. Like, they go with weird choices. Like, a lot of it is like that 2000s, like metal garbage, just whatever electro shit is going through. But then they'll pull out like this weird deep cut, and you're like, oh, that was really interesting. It gives me not quite Guy Ritchie vibes, but like somebody who's trying to be Guy Ritchie and pulling like some hip choices, and he's almost there. They're almost there, but like I still appreciated the choices.
And then they have scene.
I liked the songs.
It reminded me of a lot of part that
I was like, why is this on right now? Because there were times like that fight that you're talking about. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, this rules. But maybe it's just one part.
But then they'll randomly play "Achy Breaky Heart,"
but not the real version.
Okay, that was funny.
Makes sense. It makes sense.
It does.
Because isn't that Yoakam's version?
I don't know.
Well, Dwight Yoakam, I don't think, ever sang the song.
Dwight Yoakam is a treat in this movie. He's one of the high points, I feel.
Never sang "Achy Breaky"?
But no, when I was watching it, like, the editing style, the hyperness of it, like, halfway through, I was like, this is like an episode of Viva La Bam.
Again, that time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really, they really went for that. And I feel they did capture that essence, because I kept thinking it throughout this whole movie.
Well, it's just that close-up handheld stuff. That's all it is. And just quick
and
editing.
Then, like, the transitions with,
the
like,
editing
the,
too.
And somehow not Gerard Butler.
That editing, that fast-paced cut.
Very fast-cut paced stuff from the mid-2000s.
And also,
90s.
Like, we've all joked around it and flirted, like, The just baselessly, needlessly crass, offensive humor that's, like, not even, like, it's just, it's so 2006.
And it's that it's so whole Dane Cook era. 2001.
Yeah. Dude.
That's, I think Sean's probably right, because this is probably offensive for, like, years before this came out.
Yeah,
I think it was late to the party in its offensiveness, yes.
Because there is
I was thinking to myself, wow, this is 2006. And then, wow, like, that one shouldn't have been said in the 2000s at all. Like, is this a 1980s movie? But also, like, if it's going for immature humor, like, who's calling someone that on Xbox Live in 2006? Nobody. 2002? Maybe. Mm. But I don't know.
So, yeah, there's the part where, like, he pulls the guy out of the cab and yells, "Al-Qaeda." And then a bunch of white people
that was bad.
Beat this guy to death.
I mean, I'm just going to say Amy Smart's entire character.
Oh, it's terrible.
There's not a single redeeming thing.
The part where they try to make it sexy is borderline rape.
No, it's that rape. Was rape.
It's not rape. Even it like she turns it around magically, and then she's like, "Oh no, I'm totally okay with it now."
Yep.
It's
but like, yep. And she's
multiple times she tries to get away and says no in public. Nobody helps her.
Pretty much rips her tit out in public before she agrees.
Thankfully, that was a stunt tit.
It was a stunt tit.
It's rape.
It was a stunt.
Well, I wrote down
a body double.
Rape is prob bad. Okay. Anyways, they fucking Chinatown.
The producers on this movie need to go through sexual panda, that sexual harassment panda training.
I feel they all wore like the giant square or rectangular sunglasses, and they had the black spike hair up, like sort of coif. This is the producers, and they had the really tight hoodie zip up and the red undershirt, and they're all like, "Yeah, bro, but like, what if we like pull her tit out here? Wouldn't that be tight?"
Oh, bro.
Right?
Yeah. I just listened to Dane Cook's Retaliation album, and I gotta tell you, I think this would be awesome. Hold on, let me take a sip of my Code Red.
Yo, bro, let's go.
This is actually Code Red.
I got so jealous. I saw you sip it, and it came out red, and I was like, oh, damn it.
That's commitment to commitment the bit, to the bit.
Yeah, I was like, oh, we're talking about 2006 movie. I need my Code Red.
Commitment to the bit, man. Like I said, this movie is a time capsule of 2006. There's a point, and I need to take a screen capture. I swear to God, just for the offensiveness, the dead guy at the end on the top of the helipad, his body is in the shape of a swastika.
It absolutely is.
It is, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I didn't not see that.
Not what see?
Why?
Yeah.
Okay, so I do have a theory.
Okay.
That I kept wrapping back around to this is that they were literally, okay, I don't know. This is my first time both watching and talking about this movie with literally anybody. Outside of earlier today, I go, hey, Paul, have you watched Crank?
Oh.
Yeah. Paul from work. He,
Of course.
I want to just do a thing where it either gets Paul's seal of approval or doesn't. And he gave me the whole rundown about this and, this is a movie to watch to enjoy. Doesn't matter. Anyways, this is like them. They were trying to just make an action movie, an action video game as a movie.
Yes.
And there is so many pieces of this movie that just pop out all over the place, which could explain some of the super over the top crass stuff, because that's
some
what they got.
The whole movie's over the top.
Mm-hmm. But there's like, there's little parts in it that make me keep thinking about this, to the point where they, when they're escaping the clothing place and they go out the window, there's literally like a big finger pointing towards the window that says fire escape this way in humongous letters. Like when he picks up that DVD at the beginning of the movie, it glows for a second as if he picked up something important in a video game. Like there is so much stuff that happens in this movie that, I mean, you can't really excuse what they said or all of Chinatown, but
or
it made
the
me by the end of the movie feel better
where
about
he
the movie.
Says,
"Yeah, right.
I'm ready to kick some ass that is not the white kind."
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of things if you read into it, and if you read into some symbols and like movie theory, you could see that this is an argument that Neville, Dean, and Taylor, and I would argue their other movies maybe support this, have some not great ideas about women, other races, and this is just the start of that. I think this is backed up with Crank 2, which goes even further, in which they do, I remember, like a real bad mocking thing of Godzilla at one point in the kaijus with real bad Asian voice as Jason Statham turns into a giant version of Jason Statham with a big head and everything.
Wait,
real bad.
What?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's up there with like You Only Live Twice, but like that movie was in the 60s for its like, you know, Chinese and, or sorry, not Chinese, Japanese offensiveness. But regardless, you can read into a lot of stuff here is just like, I think there's a lot of shitty things being said in this movie, and it runs throughout the course of the career in their movies. It's in Gamer. It's in that Ghost Rider second reboot. I don't trust that
Spirit of Vengeance.
Two directors have good ideas. Yeah.
Then going back to what I said, maybe making it in this style is just an excuse to be able to put out all the vile shit that they want and all of the ideals that they want. Like, the only thing I'd heard about this movie prior is him jumping out of a helicopter and people talking about, like, oh, yeah, and they have sex in the street. Then you get to that part in the movie and you're like, oh.
This is the worst part of the movie. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm judging you 10 years later.
It feels very I see what you're saying about the video game stuff, and it's like they took it 60% of the way there. They could have easily leaned into that and made that the theme of the movie, but they didn't really capitalize on it. I feel like they could have leaned into that, but it just, to me, it feels like ultimate mid-2000s edgelord kind of pandering.
Yeah. Wish fulfillment. Yes. I go a step further in everything you said, but add in wish fulfillment. Mm-hmm. You got the cool, dumb blonde who doesn't give a fuck about anything. You just killed somebody in front of her. Doesn't matter. She's cool for rapings in the streets. You can just beat up whatever you want. Cops can't touch you. Fuck them. Embarrass them. Take their bike. Fucking dunces. That's what this movie is. It's just like all wish fulfillment. And it's for, I think, a problematic majority of the population. So that's my conflict.
Hi, listeners.
With Craig.
Thanks for tuning in. If you are a friend of what Ryan like said, maybe look inside.
It's weirdly like almost like Falling Down with Michael Douglas. How, like, except like I feel overall the message in Falling Down is that you're not supposed to identify with Michael Douglas.
Right.
Just the wrong people do that here. And Crank, like, yeah, like it's just they're not good people. Like the racism isn't even like funny, like you can use race to a humorous effect, and no
Blazing
point at all points in this movie it just feels like mean spirited.
Yeah.
Like there's no real humor in it. Like
going back to what Ryan pointed out with the whole, like, I wrote down the Al Qaeda bit because again it's 2006. Like even in 2001, that, like, why would you put that in something in 2015, why would you put that in something? Like,
those were wild.
It's not
times,
funny, man. Like, it happened and I was uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
This did have a very, very sexy, very young Glenn Howerton as a doctor.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah,
Dennis Reynolds caught me off guard as fuck in this.
I had to pause it, and on Prime, you can wiggle the mouse and it pops up. And I'm like,
crank it.
Oh, it is him.
It's
and
Dennis.
He got that great scene, which I'll let somebody else talk about.
Well, hospital
what other cameos
shootout
are there?
Action.
I'd say spoiler for Crank 2, but that character comes back, and it's a good recurring bit.
Really?
That's
Glenn.
I won't spoil it in case you want to watch it, but Glenn Howerton comes back, and it's
spoiler
really
alert,
funny.
Like, I don't think I want to, so...
Well,
it's
a therapist. He's in a therapist talking about the trauma he endured from this scene, as then Cheb Chelios bursts through the door again and causes even more trauma.
Amazing.
That's the bit. And it's a good bit.
It's so weird the movies that he's been in, because he's also in The Strangers, and he's in it just to get shot in the face with a shotgun.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The original?
Yeah.
Huh.
Old shotgun face. Hmm.
It's got more action than this movie. I didn't like this movie, you guys. I fucking
There's
did not
no
like
way.
This movie.
Strangers was so boring.
I liked this in the first watch, but the rewatch, I felt more uncomfortable than I did the first time. The first time, I was like, okay, there's a story here, kind of. There's action. It's fun. I see what they're doing. The second time, I saw more of what Ryan's talking about with the mean-spiritedness and the...
I guess
there's a few things that are a little bit inexcusable.
I asked them because I know you guys did it for the show, but before that episode, had either of you guys seen it prior to the?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'd seen it a bunch of times. Yeah, and really? I'm pretty sure that's why I picked it. Or did you pick? I don't remember who picked it, but.
I can't remember either.
Yeah, it's one I've seen a bunch of times. Again, 2006 in college. Yeah. I remember watching this thing a whole bunch.
Yep.
But in 2006, like, you know that what's being said is offensive, but it was a weirdly different time. It's almost 20 mm-hmm. years ago. It's something that when you look here,
yeah,
it's incredibly offensive. I mean, look at the history of just movies in general. Like, you had jokes like come out of Birth of a Nation eventually. Like, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, tragedy plus time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, sometimes to get over tragedy, they shrink it down pretty hard to get to that comedy.
Yeah. Some people really like to jump the gun nowadays.
I just think that we're in a different mindset now, that people have to watch out a whole lot more now. So something like this doesn't land the same way now.
Right. It's like when you watch the 80s movies and they throw the other F word around much more flippantly even back then. Like, it's wild. You watch 16 Candles and you're like, what the fuck?
So many John Hughes movies outside of
John Hughes is a really problematic guy. I've always said it's probably a good thing that he died early, because we were about to be on to him.
He would have been canceled.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Not the one that the one that said like four times in this movie.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In 2006.
Yeah. That one. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. That one. Okay.
About his brother, who the only other part that got a laugh out of me is when he gets his hand cut off and then he goes to punch Jason Statham and he punches the concrete with his stump.
Yep.
That was pretty good.
I'm a simple man. He shot him in the head with his gun that still had his hand attached to it.
And then sputtered awesome.
Pretty great,
all over,
right? Pretty great.
Yeah.
Efren Ramirez in a thong.
Yeah, that's a... Again, this is one I don't know how to feel about this because we're throwing that F word around very liberally, but then we play with this and I'm like, okay, so then Jason Statham's kind of cool with it, so we can wash this off. But then they murder him in a very fucked up way on screen. I'm like, well, that seemed extra, probably just because gnarly. He was the gay character.
And then even after he was dead, Jason Statham used him as a human shield too.
As a shield, like, it was his
best
friend.
Oh my God, they did the nice pool thing with him.
Right?
They did the nice pool thing with him. Yeah. And it's so fucking offensive and over the top. It's awful, man. It's fuck this movie.
Yay!
The more I talk about it, honestly, the more I'm on Kyle's side. Like, I was with Dave and I had like such a nostalgia for this
movie.
Hold on,
Wait, I think you're reading the room very wrong here. I think you're in the room wrong here. Like, I think this movie's fun. I like it. Yeah. I'm not gonna say I like it because let me say all these words that are incredibly offensive.
No,
but it's one of the, like, you know, it's not okay. It doesn't change the fact that I think this is a fun movie.
See,
it's over the top in every possible way. I'm not going to get upset about a movie that's supposed to be over the top being too over the top. Go to fucking town. And it does.
It is.
Right.
It's more than just being over the top and offensive. It is more over the top and specifically designed for one type of person, being this white man who has been fucked over by society and wants to see it burn. It is, honestly, this movie is the reason why we have Joker Folly Adieu and why we have to be like very fucking clear with our messaging now, because these people see this movie and they're like, that's fucking cool. Jason Statham, so fucking cool. This is really cool. And the whole movie, like, you listen to any background character and like, what an asshole. That guy's an asshole. And they're fucking really trying to tell you, but the people aren't fucking hearing this. And I'm not saying you're one of those people, in 2006 when this came out, I don't think like that film education was as to where it was with a lot of people. And a lot of people were in the category
the
of like, this
when
is
you
a fun
say
movie.
Film education, what do you mean in that sense?
Well, let's say more just so like literacy.
Media literacy.
Getting more movies under your belt, kind of understanding like how to retone themes, like this kind of stuff in movies.
You know,
I don't feel like that was like really important in the early 2000s.
But
like,
everything that you're describing
just kind of fucking starting.
Is a consistent tone across this movie.
And that's what, like, the thing
it is,
movie
you're right. That tone is not for me.
Effectively is like,
that's okay.
It wants to be for me, like, I don't want to see the world burn.
No,
I'm
I don't,
not so
no,
offended
and
by.
I'm agreeing with you here because
and that's,
there's a very specific spot for people who, like, love this movie. I think it's fun. I mean, it's I'm not going to go out
and the same people who like Taxi Driver
burn cars.
I'm not
going to
get
to understand
Taxi Driver.
Well, I was actually like sitting here thinking about it after I said all that stuff and listening to you guys, and that, like, obviously I'm not excusing any of the things that I just bitch and bemoaned about, but I was thinking specifically about the Al-Qaeda part, and I'm like, man, that's not funny. That's not okay. And like, this was right before you guys were like, he's, when Dave was like, yeah, listen to everybody around him. Like, oh, this guy's a dickhead. Dude's a dick. Like, he has no redeeming qualities. You shouldn't like him as a character because he's just a terrible human being. And I think pretty much all of his actions should point you in that direction as to not think, he's a really awesome guy. I want to be just like Chev. Probably don't. He's kind of the worst.
Typically, when you wake up and you find a DVD that says fuck you and it tells you, hey, you got to get your ass moving, I don't think that you're a good guy to be getting into that situation to start.
The two people I've ever heard of in my life named Chev have both been the biggest assholes. This guy in Chevy Chase, right?
Yeah.
Film theory, then nobody ever then pushes back on him. If we're talking about this guy is an asshole and the world's pushing up against him, he was poisoned at the very start, and then everybody else kind of just goes with him. There's no pushback from anybody in the world around him. His girlfriend just immediately acquiesces to the fact that he's a killer and a shitty person, all out of nowhere. In
it's an
edgelord
fantasy. Yes,
It is. It is. So like it's more than just being offensive, because what you're describing to me sounds like the trauma movies, which have like a heart and like they're offensive, but like they really are like trying to do something different. Maybe it's a fine line that I'm not able to like accurately talk about, but I feel like this movie goes beyond, and it is the mean-spirited, where I don't feel trauma's mean-spirited. It's offensive, but I don't think trauma's mean-spirited. Whereas this is just like, really, Jason Statham does not get shit on by anybody else around him outside of being called an asshole, but he shits on literally everybody else.
Yeah,
and it is, but I don't know.
Kyle said with the falling down.
On that, though, I mean, the only people that really go along with him are the people that know him. But everybody else is like fighting against him, or like just those bystanders in the hurricane/tornado that is Chev just launching off a motorcycle through their tables and just being like, like the hospital, everybody's trying to push him off. The cops are after him. Just, it's only the people in his life that
anybody
are
that is opposed to him, they also paint like kind of an idiot. And like, obviously, this guy's the best guy. He's going to beat all these people with no problem. Even the cops, it's like, he's going to play with them. It's
that's just the filmmakers like aggressively forcing the perspective of the main character on you. Like, they want you to just make everyone else not redeeming around him just to make this guy, who you're supposed to be rooting for this entire time, seem that
it
much
literally
better.
Puts you in a first person perspective.
Yes. But you're not supposed to be rooting for
this
guy.
No, but it's
guy.
Like aggressively in that first person perspective. He's the hero above it all is. Heroes. And that's why everyone
like,
else kind
has a first person camera.
Like, can I push back against the falling down comparison? Because falling down ends in a way that makes it very clear.
Don't look at endings for this thing, man. This was an hour and a half, and they said we're out of ideas.
And I don't think this is anything like falling
down.
But
I think it does. Because if you're going to tell a tragic down story character, you have to end it like falling down or the Joker, where you put them in a place where they've been humbled or see some kind of loss. And I'll even give you the Joker where like it's kind
of
weird because
he's falling out of the helicopter. He feels that sense of calm.
I don't think
like
that.
That's why he comes to like peace with what's about to happen.
And he makes an entire phone call.
Yeah.
He makes a nice.
Yeah. Why does he get calm and peace at the end of this movie? Joker and falling down, they don't get calm and peace. And this is what I'm saying is like, just going off of how you write character arcs, he didn't learn any lessons. He wasn't punished. He didn't do anything. He is the same shitty character from start to end, but yet he's not punished. There's no end. He is still alive as this movie ends. And we know there's a fucking crank too, where he continues just doing fucked up, depraved shit.
Still
as opposed to falling down. Hard ending. Hard ending.
Can you remind me the ending of Joker? That's an honest question. Yeah, I have not seen it since
the first one. Ambiguously, possibly he died in the taxi, and everything past that is up for interpretation. But ultimately, I think he ends up in the insane asylum with a very little victory that he had people believing in him, but he did not ultimately win.
Okay.
So a very small victory, but I would say not the same way as this, where Chef Chelios takes out fucking everybody without any harm, nothing, and then is still fucking alive at the end of the movie to, again,
yeah,
carry
because
on
you have
his wayward son.
The people that this movie is for, they want their hero.
Mm-hmm. Hey man, I'm just trying to quit the business so I can be with my lady.
Thing going on. It comes to pieces of his decision,
maybe,
but it's supposed to be like
you
that.
Shouldn't have a heroic arc. You shouldn't have heroic moments for a not hero character then, because then you do fall into this problematic shit of why is my hero saying all this racist and homophobic shit? Why is my hero raping his girlfriend in public and ripping out her blouse? Why is my hero doing this? We should ask these questions, and the people who were really into this movie did not ask those questions. And we got a second one.
I think it's because it's this love of the anti-hero. I mean, we've established that this is a bad guy waking up in this situation. He's surrounded by bad people.
Yeah.
Agree to disagree. I don't think he's a very good anti-hero. I don't think he has really any kind of arc at all. I don't think he's a very well-written character.
He doesn't.
Chef Chelios is nothing but a raging hard-on.
Yes.
That is his character.
Yes.
He's a raging hard-on.
You know,
well,
I think...
Cool. No, I don't want to watch a raging hard-on.
I think that this
hard-on.
Is a one-note movie, and this, I feel like you're trying to
you're
find
right.
other notes to it, and I don't think there's a point to
you're
look
right.
in.
You're right. No, I'm explaining why this movie doesn't work for me, and okay. I'm explaining the extent of its one-noteness. This is watching your fucking dumb cousin play Grand Theft Auto, never do a fucking mission, and just go around beating fucking people up and raping shit. And you're just like, cool, all right, are we going to do anything at any point? No? That's... All right. Cool.
You know, it's funny.
And now
that
I have
you
to talk
that.
About my cousin playing fucking Grand Theft Auto.
Because
and I have to defend my position.
Because in our Discord, you asked listeners if they had seen this movie and what their thoughts were. And I believe it's Paul Korn mentioned, haven't seen either since they came out, but I remember enjoying them as an unofficial GTA movie. And I think that's, you know, I think that about nails this. If you know, if you're just playing a GTA game, running around, do whatever the fuck you want, but also has something that's kind of driving you forward, you know, take out the guy that gave you the Bangkok cocktail or Beijing cocktail. Thailand is not China.
Hard to know.
No.
But yeah.
No.
Fellas.
Yeah. You know,
why don't we say we start ranking through this totally patented kick-assometer? We
yeah.
start seeing where we're going to land up with this thing.
Let's do it.
You want to give the listeners a little breakdown of what that means?
Yeah, so the kick-assometer is it's a rating scale Sean invented for Action Movie December.
Totally invented it.
Sean has full patent rights to this system. It's patent number 64422. Look that up. I have no idea what the fuck that is.
You guys are like Terrence Howard. You just got all the.
We totally lifted all of this from the Cape Podcasters scale, which was a fantastic scale. But that's why our numbers don't work, because we had to legally make it different so we didn't get sued. But I think our highest scoring category you can have is our first one. What we're going to do, we're going to break it down with various things that Sean and I, on like a whim, decided constitute should be included or generally are included in an action movie. And the first one of those is the most important part, I guess, the action quality, with a top score of 5 on this category. I'm going to go ahead. I'm coming in low on this one because honestly, I found most of the action in this fairly bland and pretty boring. There's some okay, kind of cool stuff, but like nothing that really jumped out. The funniest bit to me was when he throws that famous Mexican gangster you see in a lot of stuff just off the
Hector.
Building. I thought that was a pretty
He's
funny
Hector
bit.
He's Hector in like every
yeah,
single TV
Hector.
And movie.
He's
ever,
in
except for this one, which was Rooftop Guard.
Fast and Furious.
Hector, Hector the Rooftop
the first
Guard.
One, at El Gato.
Yeah. Shout outs to.
But I'm coming in at like a 2 on this, is what I feel.
I have a real quick question. Do we do halves?
You can do halves in everything except for story. Story has to be all or nothing.
Okay, cool, cool, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I personally would go a little bit higher. It feels like this whole entire movie was action.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point, is that he needs to keep getting adrenaline into his system. And so whether it be, like, pedal to the metal, trying to outrun the cops, to stealing a cop motorcycle, to the whole, you know, hospital scene and the helicopter scene. Like, I think I thought the action quality in this movie was pretty, it was pretty top. I wouldn't say top tier. It was pretty good. It was very entertaining. And why actually I came away from this movie having enjoyed my experience, all things aside, I would lean more towards like 3.5, 4.
Wow.
I was also leaning toward 4. I hear what you're saying, because when you're trying to do nonstop action, eventually you get bored of action. So they have to keep escalating. And I think they do a good job of the escalation. So I also... The
diminishing returns is real.
Also went with a 4.
Dave?
I'm kind of torn between a 3 and a 4. I think that I like a lot of the action. It has like a clumsy feel to it, kind of by design, because this guy is like recklessly doing everything, and I kind of enjoy that. But then sometimes it feels a little basic and boring, like you said, and then they have to like do something else over the top to kind of like almost pull you back in. It feels
right.
Like, I think I'm going 3.
A 3. Ryan, last one. Then we'll try to average these, I guess.
So, because this is the kick-ass-ometer, my feelings are going to get completely fucked here. Because I think this is a 4.
Okay.
As much as I have issues with the other parts of the movie, I think I'm with Sean and Brian for most of what they said. And I'll also add in, like, even when there's not action on the screen, the way the movie is cut and edited feels like action. It is so frenetic. Like, there's just not a moment to be bored by a static shot. And sometimes that can be like grating, and by the end, like, you might be tired of it, but like, it feels very action heavy even when there's no action. So I think 4 is perfectly reasonable.
Then I'm going to give this category a 4, fellas. You guys have overwhelmed me. You've swayed it. I got to go 4.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like no matter how high a movie like this can score, you can always just toss a good old Barry Bonds asterisk onto the end of it.
There you go. That's it.
Well, speaking of 4, the next category we have is the antagonist. We don't give a shit generally about the protagonist, but how good is the bad guy in an action movie? They're kind of the end all be all, the Hans Gruber to the John McClane, you know. Everybody loves the Grub. They're Grubing it.
The good guys already got their movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're usually generally pretty good. How good is the foil?
So the antagonist category has a max score of 4. And I'm coming in. I'm giving this guy a 1, man. I don't find any of them threatening. I don't find him entertaining. I don't find him scary. They're all just dumb because they're the foil to this guy, but they're not a threatening foil. So, again, I'm low. What do we got here? Sean?
I will give this a... I'll give it like a 1 point... I'll give it a 2. Much for a lot of the same things that you were saying, but... Man, with the two main baddies, one of them is absolutely loaded, and money can give power. And also, they have like a lot of goons that
and a lot of top
die
six.
Pretty easily. But you know, so does Chev as well. You know, as soon as he didn't kill that Chinese man, I knew he was going to save the day.
He had the heart of gold. That's what the redeeming factor
the
was.
I was just trying to get out of the game for you, babe.
That's the name of the book, isn't it? Save the Chinese man?
And the China market.
Don't eat the cat.
So Superman always does.
That was the subtitle.
So you say 2, Shani? All right.
I'll bump it down 1.5.
1.5. Dave? Yeah.
Sean made this scale and go up to 23, and now he's throwing in 0.5s on things. You are a monster. Yep.
I'm the one that's doing the math here. You just tell me what you feel. We'll average it out.
I know, but my OCD is just thinking about what you're writing down. I'm like, why would he do that?
1.75. Send it, Bob.
Mostly, I think, to mess with you.
No, I'm going to go with a 2. Clean 2. Clean 2. And it's mostly because they're fine. They're not that entertaining. They're kind of just doing the classic villain move of, I'm going to do this. He'll die, probably, right? But Let's it's hope. A pretty sinister fucking thing that he did here by making this man do this. That's sinister.
Ryan? Yeah. With the R.
Oh, shit. We got to go to Rye Guy and Bry Guy. It's how
that wouldn't fix it. You'll be Ryan and he'll be Bry Guy.
Well, that works too. All right. I think I'm with Dave, and I think 2 sounds right to me because that's like right down the middle.
So low on
I don't think movie. There's anything special about them. But as Dave said, that's a super fucking impressive move to just kill the person at the start of the movie. And then that's it. Like, it's pretty impressive. So You're for as bland as they are throughout, I think that balances it. And I also like the sub minion, how frequently he just gets one up by Jason Statham very quickly and easily. Like Chev Chelios just is embarrassing this dude at every fucking turn he can. And I think that's kind of a fun thing to play with, to have just like a very incompetent number 2 really earning like that place, but not doing it well. So 2, I think 2's good.
I also think that Ricky Verona was a very entertaining character the entire movie. Almost every scene he was in, I enjoyed his work.
Who and his character. Gets a BJ and feeds a dog a steak at the same time?
No idea.
What a Winners. Psycho.
I don't care. I'm back up to a 2, Kyle.
A 2. Bry Guy, you're the vote. Although I think I know where this one's going too.
Yeah, I'm also at a 2 with this because okay. I honestly don't give a shit about Carlito at all. He just smiles a lot and he's like, look at how cool I am. It's really Ricky Verona who's doing all the dirty work, and he ends up killing the main bad guy at the end anyway. So it's like, who's the real antagonist here? It's Ricky. And it just to take your henchman and to have him be the main bad guy, I don't love it, but I cannot deny killing your main character before the movie even starts is pretty good. So that's why it gets the 2 out of me.
All right. Well, I'm averaging that one out 2-2. You guys outvoted me again. This next category, Sean mentioned briefly. I feel every action movie has to have a certain amount of this, but I feel there's not a quantifiable number, but there's just each movie you kind of feel if it reaches this aspect. And this category has a max score of 3, and it's the body count category. How many bodies does our villain and protagonist rack up throughout the course of the movie? Is it an ample amount to consider it action worthy? Bry Guy, let's start with you on this one.
So this is out of 3?
Out of 3.
We'll go with 2.
Okay.
Right down the middle, kind of. It's a lot. They kill a lot of people. More so, I believe, from the bad guys. Surprisingly. Because Chev's killing his fair amount of people. But a lot of him going through this movie is just trying to get himself amped up, not so much trying to kill other people other than the people who have wronged him. I don't know that it was a ton of bodies, but there were a few, and there were some fun kills in there. So yeah, 2 out of 3.
2 out of 3.
That ain't
Shiny
bad.
Boy, where you going?
Man, I think in my head, there's more dead bodies than there actually was, because I'm like, I just watched it. I'm like, hell yeah, that's a 3. Maybe it wasn't. There was at the big shootout at the end, there was a lot of bodies when they find Kalo, in the shirt, place, a lot of bodies. I'll give it a 2. I'm not overwhelmed with the amount.
Yeah.
I don't think it really hits that echelon, but 2.
I'm going to jump in here. I'm going to agree with you guys so far. I'm also in the 2 category. I feel it's at no point did I feel like it was an excessive amount. I feel it hit just the right amount to consider it action movie worthy. So I'm in the two boat. Dave, where are you at?
I'm going two. There's been movies that had more. There's been movies that had less. Boom.
Ryan?
I'm going lower.
Okay, Ryan's coming in with the hate.
But not much lower. I'm just 1.5, just because I think this is right down the middle. I honestly, there's a long stretch where there aren't bodies and there's not a lot of action happening. The body count, it really comes from like the final 10 minutes mm-hmm. for me. So I straight average 1.5.
I think that would still, I think the twos take it. We're gonna go with the two. Mm-hmm. All right. So this one, I think I know where everybody's going to go with this one. I will start
we'll see about that.
With, well, let's see about it then. Shawnee, this one is the setting theme category. This is also a 3-point category.
A big old zero. Goose egg.
Wow.
Yep.
That is surprising.
This is like every action movie setting theme ever. This is L.A., nondescript alleys, you know, little warehouses, the theme, I don't know, like, it's a zero. Like, I can't even justify adding in, like, the theme of the movie, because that's it's not, to me, this. The way it's shot, sure, maybe, like, I thought it was really cool stylized, but setting, theme, zero.
All right. Dave, where are you at?
I'm probably going zero on this one. Sean kind of nailed it. These are nondescript places for the most part. It's just kind of generic LA. It's got a $12 million budget attached to it, which makes me think that them going that close up on a lot of stuff to hide what's going on kind of in the background, the lack of what's there, I feel like this is mostly a budgetary reason why this is kind of pretty generic.
A little guerrilla style too.
Yeah.
Getting a shot but in. Yeah.
Typically the more you zoom in on something, the more you're trying to hide if it's not for a cinematic reason.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bri guy, where are you at?
This movie could have taken place anywhere that has a hospital in a Chinatown and helicopters. It's I think I'm with these guys with a zero.
All right, well, I'm gonna buck the average a bit. I am going to give it, I feel, a one just for it absolutely nails early 2000s. Like, to a T is a time. Like, so I would give it a one, but I'll still probably get downvoted average-wise here. But Ryan, where are you at?
I think I misunderstood the assignment because I'm going to give it a 1.5.
Okay.
I agree. I think it's pretty generic. That said, I do think it gets a bump for the theme, and as loose and as chaotic of a theme as it is, the idea of you have an hour to do some crazy shit to keep your heart alive and running with it is the unique part of this. LA, pretty nondescript. All these gangs, nondescript. None of this shit matters. But like that theme, that right there, that's the gym, which is why they weren't able to do a Crank 3, because that gym runs out very quickly, as they found out. But like that, I don't know, 1.5, I think, is pretty fine.
So what
no,
we
you
think?
Understand the kind assignment of convinced completely.
Me to bump it up to a 1.
A 1, okay.
It's so all what? Up into your interpretation of these categories. And that's why I said I didn't think the theme of the movie fit my interpretation.
Mm. Are we saying an average of 1? 1 for that category? 0.5?
1's fine. Whatever, let's not get in the weeds on it.
It's actually, I'm honestly surprised it's going as high as it has. This one, all right, we'll see. It's pretty basic. Again, all these categories, as Sean said, are pretty open up to your interpretation. We'll figure it out on the back end here. Muscles. The muscles category has a top score of 2 that it can earn. Ryan, where are you putting this on the muscle scale?
As much as I want to be a smartass and say buttocks are muscles, and so like they're kind of the same, so if there are butts, then there are muscles. But if we're going just like beefcake muscles, there ain't shit in this movie. You don't get to see Jason Statham shirtless. You get to see his butt, but like, you don't get to see the muscles. There's no like six pack shot, none of that. So I don't think you see any six packs at all. No pecs, no biceps. So this is going to be a zero.
I thought you were just going to keep going down and it was like, no delts. Can't believe it.
Triceps, no delts.
Zero traps.
No, no quadriceps.
No oil. One, no sparks.
Pair of pumas.
Sean, where are you at on muscles?
I'm giving it a one.
A
and one? You know why?
No.
Because Statham's butt, his calves, his quads, and that Haitian taxi driver who flexed on him.
Oh, there was that guy that did flex.
Boom.
I might give it a 0.5.
One man. Guy in the movie flexed. You better give it half flex. Marks.
Yeah.
Dave, where are you at? On
it's
the
a one,
meter?
Strictly for that flex.
Okay. He's going one. Bry guy, what about
Let's
you?
Let's go.
I am also going to go with a zero here.
Okay.
Jason Statham in this movie is believable to Amy Smart as a video game developer.
Sure.
So take that okay. for what you want.
I'm also, I'm in that boat too. Mistake. I say a big zero. I was not impressed with anything muscular-wise. Even the flex, I completely forgot about the flex. You forget about the flex,
That's
you
a
can't
personal
count the
problem.
Flex.
That's a personal
How do you forget about the flex, man?
So, I don't know what...
You even try to intimidate the crackhead.
I think I'd give that a 0.5. I'll be generous and say 0.5 on this one.
What a guy.
That's fair. Oh, man. Feels actually, real quick, to jump in, I completely forgot about this. I loved every time words appeared on the screen in this movie.
Yes.
Also very
like,
video
when
game.
When the taxi driver turned around and was like, crackhead. And it was separated by periods. And he's like, do I look like I have, what did he say, slut on my
the
forehead
C
or something?
Word. Yeah.
Cunt on my forehead.
And then he wrote it on his forehead.
On my forehead.
I love that.
Or the elevator when he saw the subtitles.
Yeah, backwards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was so sick.
That whole elevator scene completely throws me in this movie because it's like, are they trying to do art all of a sudden? Like now? At the end of the movie?
They're gonna... all along.
It's just very
like
silly.
It's not so much highbrow. It's just brow.
It's a unibrow.
Speaking of art, the next category is personal favorite of mine, gentlemen. It's a category we call butts.
I love butts.
Butts is a two-point category, also open to interpretation, but generally errs on the side of gratuitous nudity in the movie. Take that as you will, but generally, if you see a nice butt. So I'll start this one off. You do see a fair amount of butt, including, as we just mentioned, a Statham butt, as well as very gratuitous topless women just walking around. I think this has got to go with a two on the butts category for me. So, Ryan, where are you coming in on butts?
Oh, 100%. This is a two. A lot of TNA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shawnee boy?
Yeah.
Man, I take a lot of notes when I watch a movie, and I used to keep count of how many people died. That got old really quick, especially in movies where a lot of people are dying. But there was at least seven parts in this where I'm like, boob, martini glass, boob, massages, butt in all caps. This is a two for me, dog.
I like where this trend's going. Dave?
Oh, it's a two. It's absolutely a two.
Mm-hmm. It's a good category. Bry guy, take us home, baby.
I'm giving 1 point to each of Jason Statham's beautiful butt cheeks. That's a two.
I wish that was 3 points.
When did your dog come into the room?
Charlie.
All right, so I think this might be the most contentious category of the evening, because I know where I'm coming in on this one. The music category, also top score of two. I want to start it off with Dave on this one.
I'm going to go one. It's
a one?
Totally fine.
Playing it safe.
It's appropriate for what's happening. I mean, we're not looking for anything terribly special. It's just, let's get the heart going. Let's throw in the comedy drops every now and then. We'll give you one for us with that kind of let's move this forward beat. And then again, like Ryan said earlier, you get the needle drop. It's supposed to be the let's stop the movie for a second and get a laugh. So it's a one.
Bet you wondered how I ended up here. All right, Ryan, where are you at on the music?
I agree with everything Dave said, but I guess I just feel a little bit more positively on it. It's not top tier, so it's not a 2, so I'll go 1.5. Okay. I like the music. It is 100% a time capsule, but the needle drops made it for me.
Bry guy?
You can tell this movie came out before the Linkin Park song What I've Done, because they would have used it for the end credits when he opens his eye. But they made up for it by having Chester in the movie. It's a 2. It's a 2 for me.
Yeah. Have Chester Bennington in here. Mm-hmm. I also want to change mine to a 2 now. That does bump it up, even if the music wasn't there.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I hated every song in this movie, but I thought that they fit perfectly. I say it's 2.
Appropriate. It's appropriate.
It literally captured that era, that essence. So I'm in the 2 camp as well, even though I was like, God, this is so dumb, but perfect.
You could put this soundtrack on and people would be like, wait a minute, Family Guy's coming back?
Shawnee boy, what about you?
I agreed with pretty much everything that Ryan said, except for the things that brought it down for me were I wasn't a huge fan of like the fast paced like techno-y, like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Like that's just not for me. But all of the other stuff, absolutely loved. I thought it was great. I think there's just that one track that happens in the movie where I'm like, why is this playing right now? But everything else had me mentally making a note of this soundtrack rules. So 1.5.
I think that's going to average out to 2, gentlemen. I'm just giving that a flat 2. Everybody's pretty positive on that. Better than I thought it was going to be. Although I thought I was going to be harsher, and then suddenly I realized I loved it. We got 2 categories left here, gentlemen, and then the bonus category. This one, I don't know how it's going to go. I'm going to go home out of the gate. It's the quips category. Top score of 1. Brian agrees with it. I'm coming in with a 0. I don't really remember any great insults that stuck out to me. Nothing that I felt myself repeating, even with the Jason Statham voice. So I'm a 0 on this one. Ryan's looking at me. Ryan, what are you coming in with?
I'm gonna do a 0.5. I don't think it's necessarily the best written material, but I laughed quite a few times at one point. I don't remember what it was, but Jason Statham does something ridiculous, and he actually says out loud, "How fucking awesome was that?"
It's right after he cleaves off his arm with the meat cleaver. I wrote it down.
That's what it was. And there's just like little things like that that made me just like burst out cracking. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's not the best, but it's got a few good lines.
Sean, what about you?
I was searching for that quote that Ryan just said, because there's like that line. And then there's 2 or 3 subsequent lines in the same exact scene that popped me. And those are just like the ones that I cared to write down throughout the movie. It's not super memorable. You're going to be thinking of them in a couple of years, but in the moment watching the movie, I think this deserves 0.5 for quips.
Okay. Bry guy.
I'm kind of leaning towards 0. There's not a lot that stuck with me, even after just watching it last night. I mean, it's like, there's nothing that I could quote from it right now.
Dave.
The one Ryan said was the only one that stood out to me this entire movie. It's almost like an anti-quip. It's not even like a, do you know what killed the dinosaur? The Ice Age. It's just a, oh, that was fucking cool. Right? Right?
Yes.
Isn't it?
You're not wrong.
I'm going 0 on this thing.
I would average out to 0, but if I did a 0.5, it'd make the math easier for me.
It's good.
I'm going 0. 0.5. I'm going 0. I don't think there was anything quip worthy. I'm making that final hard cut. Ha-cha! Like that cut arm.
Oh, no. We have to take points away from Crank.
All right. This last category, there's no 0.5. It can only be all or nothing. A 0 or a 1. The story category. I'm setting this one off. I say a big fat fucking goose egg. Yeah, completely forgettable, yeah. Stupid. It's there as a kickoff to go somewhere, but overall, just nah. I say a big zero. Dave, what do you go?
I'm going zero on it. It's
okay.
I don't know. The movie starts. It has a cool premise to it. There's no real story behind it at all, though. It's just a cool premise, and the premise goes on, and it stays fun for most of the movie. There's no real story, though, at the end of the day.
Bright guy?
I echo what everybody else said. Zero.
Ryan?
100% what Dave said. Zero.
And Shawnee boy?
The story in this movie is a little thing called exposition. Zero.
Is that
all
Yoda?
Right, gentlemen.
I love Yoda.
We got one bonus question that's going to be a maximum of 1 point, but I don't see it happening here. It's the dope weapon bonus. Is there anything that you thought stuck out, was unique, was cool? Make your argument. Does it deserve a bonus point? Sean is chomping at the bit. What do you got for me, Sean?
The sewing machine, dog.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
That thing, that was so sick. And man, I was sitting there watching this dude just getting his hand just plungered nonstop with that needle, being like, oh no.
All right, so I think that's quick. 3 votes already for sewing machine.
Yep.
Brian, that do you have anything else?
Yep. No, I didn't even remember the sewing machine, so I'm going to go with, yeah.
I was also not, as soon as you said it, I remember the sewing machine. Exactly. I was like, that was actually a really good bit. It would suck ass to have that happen. And I would, you're always terrified. It does a great job of latching onto that primal fear that I think everybody has of a sewing machine. But you also like, your brain is constantly like, hey, stick your finger in there. Hey, you know, and you're like, no, but maybe no.
What is wrong with your brain, dog?
You guys don't have that? Is that just me?
I have this.
No,
like,
I have it.
Like, oh my God, what if I slip? Like fear.
So yeah, okay, yeah. Moving on from trauma. We're giving that, I guess, a big fat one, which brings our total overall score for Crank, shockingly, to a 14.5 out of 24 possible. Is that math wrong?
No, that's right. That's okay. Just like...
You're shocked that it's that high, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Really am too.
It's more so.
Really am too, but that's what makes the kick-assometer such a surprise every time. You never know what you're going to get.
And here is the beauty behind this, guys. This has worked out almost every time. It's almost like your Beer Me and Cape thing, where it just kind of lines up with some rating. Almost every time this lines up with IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes. That brings us to a 60.5. A 60.5, which Rotten Tomatoes is a 62. Damn. IMDb is a 6.9.
I'm surprised IMDb didn't give it like a 9.4. All the people just on the internet just right? Like, fuck yeah! I love Craig!
Well!
But yeah, it usually lines up with Rotten Tomatoes.
For anybody who has fond memories of Crank, don't watch it again, and instead go watch Shoot 'Em Up. It's a much better 2007 action movie, and there's action throughout, and it's not problematic, and it's great. It's great. Paul Giamatti.
Big fun.
Loved you. Damn, on that one.
Awesome. Yeah, I was out till you said Paul Giamatti, and now I'm suddenly in.
So good, and Clive Owen is essentially Bugs Bunny and is chomping carrots the entire fucking movie.
I've seen this movie.
It's so fucking good.
It's actually really good. Yes, you're correct.
It's the anti-Crank. If you want something with a much nicer heart, but is also really over the top and offensive.
Where the fuck were you a week ago, Ryan? God damn.
Shoot him up. I was in my sad girl feels. I was still
in that's fair enough. Fair enough. Where I think most of us were for a bit there. All right. Well, guys, that's our first action movie December official kickoff. I appreciate you guys walking down this totally set up situation where Sean and I got action movie choices. And, I really flubbed the ball, I feel.
No.
Go me. I always kick
it. It gave us something to talk about.
I don't know. It was a weird one for me.
It wasn't boring.
Like I said, I'd never seen this one, so it was an excuse for me to see something that I've never seen, which is another thing we try to do a lot of on this, is expose people to new things. I could have gone my entire life not being exposed to this, though, and been fine. I will say that.
You did miss the good window.
You're not a better person for having experienced it.
Not in any way, shape, or form. So, and even entertainment-wise, like, I've seen better, so... What are you going to do,
At a smooth, like, hour and 30 minutes.
Though, it was a quick 88 minutes.
I wasn't that stressed that I watched it.
There are worse ways to spend 88 minutes.
It was also on sale when I rented it on Amazon for 99 cents. Also a huge bonus, but I can't really give credit to the movie for that.
Thanks Bezos.
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, thanks, Jeffrey, I guess. So, I guess coming up next week, we have Phil will be joining us as our regular Jean-Claude Van Damme expert. We're going to be watching Universal Soldier, everyone.
The original?
The one with Jean-Claude in it, which I think he's in a lot of them, actually, or at least a couple, yes. I know. Because he's in the one with Goldberg, too. Is that the original one?
No,
I don't think it was. I remember watching that one a lot, though. We're going to do Universal Soldier. Ryan alluded to it earlier. You had posed a question on the Discord about this movie. Were there any other good, cool, fun answers?
So we already talked about Wayward Cross's answer about it being very similar to GTA, but I'm Kunu hopped in and he really liked the first one. Thought it was a good balance of the absurdity playing into action as well, but then thought the second one went just too absurd and was too silly. Cubicle Monkey also hopped in. They watched both and I seemed like, I don't know, their response was that they could make stupid AI art based around their thoughts in the movie, so it makes me think maybe they didn't have a high of opinion on them.
Well, if you go to
both had not seen them
page, you'll see that AI art he was referencing.
Oh, is that right?
Okay.
Okay, there
we
go. I
have to go find that for sure.
And then Cthusiast Jeff came in and compared it to Boondock Saints, I think, saying it was in that same era of college movies that maybe if you didn't watch it then, probably not going to do you good to watch it now.
Which makes me worried about watching Boondock Saints again.
Just don't do it.
I'm going to back Ryan on this one.
Just don't do it.
Yeah, I'm not just going to. Just keep that memory. I don't think I will. I think I'll just stay happy and ignorance is bliss, right?
That's what's great documentary, though.
Something I've learned.
Great documentary about Boondock Saints making of called Overnight. Go find it. It's very good.
Ooh, I'll watch that.
Okay.
I'll back that up, too.
Well, that'll satiate that itch.
One thing I've learned through this show and shows in general is don't revisit the things that you loved years and years ago.
The rose-colored glasses
should stay on. Meeting your idols.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'll say. Overall, I didn't like it as much. I wished I could have gone with a better movie, but there's always next year or July. Whoever comes up on rotation, we'll see.
But listeners, you want to be like Cthusiast Jeff, Cubicle Monkey, I'm Kunu, Wayward Cross, Phil, who's going to be on next week, and hop on in and give your feedback about whatever shows or movies or topics that we're going to be talking about, please be sure to hop into our Discord, which you'll be able to find a link to in the show notes below, wherever that you are getting this, whether it be through Spotify, Amazon Music, or really wherever you listen to your podcast in general. Comment in, chat with us, have a good time, and through there, you enjoy what we do. Go find us on Patreon, where we are always putting out bonus episodes. We always record a show prior to recording that you can hear later on in the week. This comes out on Monday. Patreon comes out on Friday. What better way to bookend your week?
Thanks again, guys, for coming along on this trip with me. I look forward to many more action movies with y'all. And until next time, listeners, go crank yourselves.
That's like, go love yourself.
It sounds right.